Jet Nation Radio. And here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with our host, Tom Shane and Angelo Berkowitz. Another great show for you here May 20th as we are slowly but surely getting to the start of OTAs and training camps. And before you know it, we will be kicking off over at MetLife Stadium against the Oakland Raiders week one. Lots to talk about. But before we do, let's jump right into it. Tom and Angelo, how you doing today, guys?
Good, man. How are you? How's it going, Brandon?
I'm fantastic. I had my my interesting little voyage over the weekend.
Nice.
I was a Bruce Springsteen groupie for the week, and so it was fun. And but other than that, you know, I'm ready to jump right into some football talk here tonight. If you do want to join us, our number. Sure, go ahead.
You know what groupies do, right?
Right, I do. Yeah, but it's just I got the explanation from one of the when I was in line, you know, waiting for 7 hours, and my friend decided to throw that terminology around, so I kind of had that one back thrown on my face. So I figured, Angelo, I'd give you a little ammunition before you start, you know, babbling on to me about, you know, Michael Vick and Geno Smith and giving me that, you know, garbage talk. I figured I'd give you a little bit to work with. So I'm throwing you a bone. So just take it and go under the table, okay?
Just enough rope, Brandon. Thank you.
But let's go. Let's go here and let's start talking. Now, Tom, I know you're a very passionate person, let's say with that. And you are, you know, you're very friendly to talk to when it comes to one Roger Goodell. And, of course, this has to do with the Jets. This is Jet Nation Radio, and the NFL obviously has to do with the Jets. So let's jump right into it. You know, a lot of talks is about, you know, the season being extended. Jerry Jones coming out and saying how the Cowboys and would benefit. Of course they would, because they're a game short of the playoffs every year. They would benefit from expanding the playoffs, how many teams get in. So, Tom, how much do you love the idea of Roger Goodell extending it to an 18-game season?
I think it's disgusting. I think Roger Goodell will make a fine Republican senator someday. I don't understand. Phil right now is canceling the show as we speak. But listen, here's the thing. What makes the NFL great is the urgency. Every week is a must-win game, and that's what's awesome about it. That's why you flock to the bar to see it. And it's over really quick. Right now, you look at we're in the NHL playoffs. The NHL started when? In October? Those 11 months a year. Major League Baseball, the same thing. Nobody's paying attention to it. And now you want to, like, make the NFL that? You want to do that and reduce the urgency to win every week? When you look at, for instance, like when you get to week 17 in the NFL season and most of the teams who are locked in the playoffs are playing nobody, you want more of that during the season, you can go ahead and expand the NFL playoffs, Roger Goodell, but it's a horrible idea. You're basically killing maybe a quarter of the NFL regular season in some cases. If you know you're going to be locked into, I mean, what, you know, it's 9th seed, 10th seed, whatever it's going to be, who cares what the last month of the season looks like? Just like with baseball, just like with hockey, it just takes forever. And there's no urgency to it, and we're going down that path in the NFL.
Now, I understand what you're saying. No, I completely agree with you. But before we jump into that, and I definitely will follow that up, Tom, we do have a caller right off the bat here on Jet Nation Radio. We have Josh calling in from the sunny state of Florida to talk about Calvin Pryor. Go ahead, Josh. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, guys? And
fantastic.
By the way, I love your show. I love your show.
Thanks, Josh.
I remember on draft day, I was hoping Brian Cooks. Then we picked him, and I wasn't too mad. I wasn't too happy, but I wasn't too mad. But looking into his highlights and actually do a YouTube search on him, I actually liked the kid. He reminded me of Palomaro and Ed Reed. the hard hit of Polamalu and the intelligence of Ed Reed. They say he might not be the fastest, but I really think he's a key pick.
I'm with you. I think I have the same reaction to the Callum Pryor pick, too. I wanted Brandon Cooks. And what I think what you're saying about Polamalu is close, I mean, in that he's going to be up near the line. He's a very hard-hitting guy. And what you keep hearing about Callum Pryor is that he has great instincts. And that's the number one thing with a safety. You don't need to be the fastest guy. You know, I brought up the 40 times last week, like, for instance, Polamalu ran a 4.33 coming out of USC, whereas Pryor ran a 4.58. Another guy who ran in the 4.5s was Ed Reed, and you're talking maybe one of the top three safeties of all time. So it's not a disqualifier for Pryor, but it, when you talk about the Polamalu pick and that similarity, got to be a little careful, because Polamalu could gamble, and he had the 4.3 speed to make it work. Pryor does not have that kind of speed. Do you think, let me ask you, Josh, do you think, like, for instance, against Gronkowski, do you think he's going to neutralize that kind of player? What kind of player do you see Pryor becoming?
Be honest with you, what I see in him, he's a sleeper pick. Look what Seattle did. Trying to say is, right now there's talent out there, and you know, looking into him, I could see something big. Just like any draft, they could be a bust, or they could be a star, or they could just be an average player. I see him as he could, under Rex Ryan, become a, you know, a top safety. Look at Ed Reed. Rex Ryan was in coaching over there, and look what happened to Ed Reed. You don't know. That's what I'm saying. I like the pick. And I understand what you're saying. I shouldn't actually, you know, name superstars off the back saying the guy doesn't be like him. But, you know, that's how I try to compare. I try to compare the best I can.
So, Josh, you said you like Brandon Cooks, right?
Yes, I
did. That was your original pick. Did you like the idea of taking a wide receiver, or did you like Brandon Cooks specifically?
Well, the way I see it right now, I have faith in Geno Smith, by the way. You know, I have a hard time with Michael Vick, but right now we got three young receivers, a tight end that I'm pretty happy about. He led in receiving yards last year. We could do something with him. So we picking cornerback and trust in our GM and all the 12 picks. I actually like them. So I can't really complain. This is a rebuild season two. I got someone we done go.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Josh. Going down the rebuilding road, I think you can use that excuse last year. I don't think coming in 12 picks, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I don't think coming into this year, talking about a rebuilding year after 12 picks and going out and signing Eric Decker with a second year quarterback, you're going to be telling me, well, it's a rebuilding year after an 8-8 season. I doubt that very highly. That's a little bit of a stretch. If you're a Jets fan this year, obviously you're not thinking they're a Super Bowl team. You're definitely hoping that you can improve from 8-8 and win a game or two more than you did last year, and then you're a playoff team. But to talk about a rebuilding team that can go 5-11 or 6-10, if they go down that road and have a rebuilding team record, I think you're going to see a change at the head in terms of the coaching. But on the air with us now is Joe Carlson. He was actually a member of Jet Nation, was over at the mini camp for us, checking everything out. Joe, how are you today, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys? Tom, you there?
I think Tom is actually, he just stepped off for a second. But Joe, I wanted to ask you, you were over at minicamp for us, and, you know, there's a lot of talk, of course, with Calvin Pryor being there and, you know, all the weapons and the speed that the Jets drafted. What was the thing, obviously, let's start off, that stood out to you the most being at minicamp?
I will say the one thing that I was most impressed at, maybe a half hour, 45 minutes into practice, they started running 7-on-7 drills. And I forget who the receiver was, but Taj Boyd left him out to dry a little bit. And if they were running full speed, this receiver, he'd probably still be in the hospital because Pryor could have lit him up. As soon as the play was over, Pryor started yelling at Boyd that he couldn't do that. He was going to get his guys hurt. I was really impressed with the leadership that he stepped up right away with, because, you know, that was kind of what everybody was saying when we drafted him. You know, he can be that defensive leader in the backfield. And it really showed, you know, on day two of minicamp, you know, just out there practicing and fooling around.
Yeah, so, right. Joe, you're saying that Pryor said something to Boyd. Now, if you just read a tweet, it's like you would get the idea that he actually was talking trash a little, but you're saying that it was more of an instructional thing or a coach, not coaching, but more of a positive thing.
Yeah, oh, definitely more of a positive thing. You know, the thing is, live tweeting that, you're kind of keeping going and you're trying to, you know, you only got 140 characters. It was definitely, it wasn't talking trash. It was, you know, bro, you can't do that. You know, people are going to get hurt. You know, he was clearly the leader on the field for the last 3 days, you know, at minicamp.
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear. Now, did he bark at all in terms of maybe a little bit of talking trash, or was he more quiet?
I mean, I'm sure he was barking a little bit. You know, it's hard where we were. When Boyd let the guy out to dry, I just happened to be looking there. They kind of funneled us all into a little bleacher there, and you couldn't really move around. You could only see what was in front of you once you were in the bleachers, because there was, you know, 200 people there. I'm sure there was a little barking here and there down on the other side of the field. I mean, I think that was reported by some other people that was the case. I didn't notice it, but that's not out of character for him. There, you know, there's been reports that he doesn't wear a mouthpiece because he likes to talk a little bit.
Yeah, I heard that.
Now, Joe, you were over there. What? I heard there were a lot of other players around, some veterans on the Jets that were attending the minicamp, kind of checking everything out. What do you think, who was there that you saw that stood out to you the most?
I actually did. The only veteran that I saw was Rontez Miles, and, you know, whether you want to call him a veteran or not. I know there was reports that Sheldon Richardson was there at one point, and Snacks, I think, was there too. I did not see them on Saturday.
Right. Now, was it true that you were also taking pictures and hiding behind a trash can?
I was not hiding behind the trash can. I was taking pictures. I will, on that note, I will give a shout-out to Evan Clemente, otherwise known as Jets Rule 128 on the Jet Nation message boards. I will say folklore has it that he has hung out behind trash cans and in bushes when the Jets were training at Hofstra. He would go the extra mile to meet those players.
Okay, so, Joe, what was your impression of Jalen Saunders? What was your impression of Jalen Saunders?
We haven't had a player like him in a long time. A lot of people, he is quick, he is shifty. There was a couple times where they were running punt return drills, and the best way I can describe it is, you know, he would start on one side and then two defenders would start on the other, and they'd run at each other from about 20 yards apart. I can't tell you how many times that he split the two defenders coming right at him. It was just a little move, and he was through there. This kid, he's quick. He ran a couple end-arounds like I haven't seen in a while. I think this kid has the potential to be a very dynamic player for us.
Did he look extraordinarily small, or did he I mean – because
I'm a small guy, so everybody looks big to me. I'm not the biggest guy out there. I don't think, you know, there's talk that, you know, he was the lightest kid at the combine, 163 pounds, this, that, the other thing. I don't think that's going to make a difference. I don't think that's going to matter with this player.
Right. Now, I can understand. We're talking with Joe Carlson. He was at minicamp for us for JetNation.com. You know, it must have been a pretty cool experience being over there. Was this your first rookie minicamp, Joe?
It was my first rookie minicamp. It's not the first time that I've been at the facility. I actually, through JetNation.com, I won an opportunity to have breakfast with Mr. T, Mike Tannenbaum, the Saturday after the painful Broncos loss. That was a very interesting interesting hour of my life. That, like I said, that was 2 days after the loss to the Broncos on Thursday night a few years ago, and he was a nice guy, but I can't say I agree with everything
he
talked about.
Did he offer you a 3-year extension for $8.5 million a year?
Only because I was about 5'2". He thought I could be good to hide behind the line a little.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you had the productivity. You know, all you got to do is just move around, throw a couple 5-yard passes, and he dishes you out $9 million.
Absolutely. Hey, that's the way we used to do things. But like I said in a few of my tweets to kind of sum up the day the other day.
Right.
You know, we all kind of, there was a lot of placed on, you know, Idzik reaching for Dexter McDougal. And what is he doing? He should have traded out this, that, and the other thing. You know, we got, what is it, $27 million left in cap space. This man clearly has a plan for where he wants this team to go. And I believe in what his vision is. Whatever that may be, I trust him. There's a tweet from one of my old accounts and maybe a text message somewhere that I sent to one of my buddies. I said, and I'm one of the most pessimistic Jets fans there is. You have to understand that. I said, I believe that we can win a Super Bowl in the next 10 years with John Idzik running the show.
Yeah, I would hope so in the next 10 years. Man, I would say in the next, hopefully in the next 3 to 5 years, you're talking about a Super Bowl.
As Joe Beningo always says, from your lips to God's ears. You know, it sometimes seemed with Mike Tannenbaum, just to kind of wrap that whole thing up, is that his whole thing was throw money at it and it'll be fixed. Mr. Idzik, he's looking to fill gaps to grow down the road. It may not be win this year, but it's win very soon in the future.
Rex better win in the future, okay? Listen, 10 years, how long? I mean, look, he's got to win. He's got to start winning in 2015. I don't want to start a fight with you, Joe. You know, I love you. But 10 years, you want to have me? I'm having a stroke right now.
Well, I figure I only got a few years left in me, so if it doesn't happen in the next 10 years, I ain't never going to see it.
But, yeah.
Ten years, from being as pessimistic as I am, 10 years is about as optimistic as I can.
I'm right there with you. Let me ask you, I was reading your tweets, and I was reading everybody's tweets coming in, and I was curious about two guys, Taj Boyd and BJ. I forgot I was in camp. Now, I was reading Taj Boyd was throwing it all over the park, and B.J. Coleman didn't look that much better. I mean, are either of these guys going to beat out Matt Sims?
I'm not sure whether they will. B.J. Coleman, I would say no. I think he's nothing more than, you know, a mini camp, OTA, training camp body. Taj Boyd, on the other hand, I think if they leave him at his natural position of quarterback, I think it will be an interesting competition, not only between they're calling a competition between Vic and Geno, but also between Sims and Boyd, also between Sims and Boyd for the number 3 spot. Ultimately, I think Boyd ends up getting stashed on the practice squad, and Sims ends up number 3 because Sims can't be practice squaded anymore. If they want to keep him around, he's either got to be 3 or they got to cut him. Unless you want to carry four quarterbacks. We did that with the gentleman we got from the Patriots a whole bunch of years ago.
That Brandon, what was that guy's name? Oh, Kevin O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell, we wanted.
That guy made $4 million 1 year to do nothing. I don't think he was active for a game. $4 million. This is like the Tannenbaum era. If you want money, you got it. And I think Taj Boyd, I put this on Jet Nation the other day, Taj Boyd is the safest guy on the team right now because that's Rex's pal, man. He has to have his pals around. That's the one he pinpointed. That's the one he wanted. That's the one he talked about pre-draft, visited pre-draft, went and hung out with it at Clemson. That guy's going to be on the team. It doesn't matter if he's playing quarterback or punting. He's going to be there. Pretty safe bet that Taj Boyd is on the squad.
Well, you know, Angelo, you think Taj Boyd is probably better than Michael Vick, right?
Don't go down this road, Brandon.
Who Who had more wins in the last eight games of the NFL season last year, Taj Boyd or Michael Vick?
Joe, let me ask you a question.
I'm telling you, Brandon, I'm going to set your hair on fire if I start talking.
Well, you know.
Hello? You play to win the game.
You don't play
Go
Joe.
Ahead,
play. Joe Carlson, you still there?
I'm here, Tom. I'm here. I was afraid you weren't here. I thought maybe when it finally came time to talk to me, you kind of chickened out and dumped the call. I'm putting air quotes around accidental right now.
Well, you know, I'm afraid of you. You know, I mean,
I know. That's why you don't come in, to any games in New Jersey.
Oh, well, that's exactly why. I'm afraid of night in the back of the head with a beer can. But let me ask you, Jason Morrow, he was supposed to be the big star of the camp. Tell me, what did he look like? Did he look like Gronkowski? Does he look like anybody we know, or is it
you're
just going to be
a lot off a weekend there, Tom? But go ahead, Joe.
He, you know, it's a lot easier during this mini camp to judge the offense than it is the defense, because at least you can tell whether they're catching the ball, they're doing this, that, or the other thing. Amaro, in my opinion, the kid's going to be a stud. He was quick up the seam. He caught everything that was thrown at him. I mean, a big thing about Gronkowski is he's just a big physical specimen. You know, you can't take him down. We couldn't see that because they weren't going full speed. They weren't tackling, you know, Amaro. But he's quick. They were running a lot of four wide receiver sets, you know, for whatever it's worth. It's rookie minicamp. He looked good in the slot, though. He was doing a little bit of that. He's quick. He can get up and catch the ball. He's got hands. And, you know, the big thing is he doesn't fall down as soon as he catches the ball. He gets yards after catch. So anybody that, you know, can go 5 yards and catch a ball and stretch at 10 is an upgraded tight end over what we've had in the last few years.
Absolutely. Although I was a Matt Mulligan fan, so, I mean, if Morrow can upgrade that, you know, we'll all be happy.
Absolutely.
Who else stood out? Anybody like?
Yeah, Shaq Evans. You know, there was a knock on him, you know, a little bit that he was, you know, sketchy with his hands, this, that, and the other thing. I was impressed, and I did tweet out there were some drops. There were a few, you know, went through the arms, went through the hands, but there were a lot more good catches than there were drops. There's a couple, and I think I posted the pictures. He's got good ball skills. He gets up in the air and gets that ball at the highest point. You know, they weren't the best throws. They had, at one point, a coach was throwing to them. But they were making plays. Both him and Saunders, they were selling out on the second day of minicamp. You know, 2 days after meeting their employers, you know, a week after meeting their employees, whatever it is, they're out there selling out and diving to make catches that, you know, and I think I said it was nice to see after years of another player who remained nameless just deciding to take plays off and, you know, if the ball wasn't right to him, he wasn't going to catch it.
No, I completely agree with you. We're talking with Joe Carlson here. You know, he was at minicamp for Jet Nation. And, you know, question for you, Joe, before we let you go, last question. You know, with the minicamp and everything like that, the big headline on Jet Nation, not on Jet Nation, on the New York Jets website is they're calling Jalen Saunders this early in the game a poor man's Brandon Cooks. What do you make of that? What did you, you know, I know you were talking a little bit about his punt returning and speed and everything like that. You know, last question for you, Joe. What do you think about that statement about him being a poor man's Brandon Cooks? Agree, disagree, or, you know, somewhere in between?
I'll be honest. I didn't watch a whole lot of Brandon Cooks coming out of college. I will say he's probably referenced as the poor man's Brandon Cooks because he wasn't predicted to go, you know, in the first round. From what I did see, you know, the size, there's a little bit of a size difference, but I can't be upset with getting Saunders instead of Cooks. You would have liked that dynamic receiver in the first round? Absolutely. But I think we found somebody who can be here for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years.
Right.
And upgrade our offense over what we've been. I really don't think, you know, there was a lot of talk that we made a mistake. We didn't go receiver in the first round. Mm-hmm. You know, we went defense. Nobody wanted to go defense, especially you, Tom. But we went defense for however long Rex has been here, 6 years, the 6th year in a row we've gone you know, defense in the first round, or fifth year in a row, I'm sorry, we did draft Mark Sanchez in the first round 1 year. Everybody wants to forget that, though. But I think with the moves that we made, Saunders and Evans, the kids, Anunua from Nebraska, he contributed a little bit the other day. He made a few nice catches. I really think, plus you had Decker, plus the Curly we have already, Amaro, I really think this offense is 10 times or better than it was, you know, last year. And truthfully, like everybody says, it can't be said enough. It all comes down to quarterback play. And I think between the ones that we have on our roster, we'll be able to find that.
No, I completely agree. Joe, thank you so much for coming on with us. And, you know, keep us posted on anything else you see in your voyages. And stay away from the trash cans down there, would you?
Yeah, no, I will. You know, I am a former maintenance guy and janitor by trade, so it will. You know, it's going to be tough for me not to be around the garbage cans, but I'll do my best. Thank
you,
right, my fine, guys. I appreciate it.
In a couple of years, Joe, take it easy. Thank you,
be
Joe.
Good, guys. I'll talk to everybody on the forum.
All right, that was Joe Carlson down there covering the mini camp for JetNation.com, of course, doing a fantastic job. Interesting insight talking about, you know, the guys that we wouldn't really, you know, look at, like Quincy, you know, Taj Boyd, the later round rookies. He said that, you know, did some kind of, you know, had impressed in some way, whether it be Taj Boyd, you know, stepping up in that leadership role, telling Calvin Pryor to lower the head and stop trying to hurt people in the second week of being employed, and you know, and moving around, and Saunders, you know, impressing people with punts. So you got to love the insight there, seeing things firsthand. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into Tom's point before. We didn't forget about it. We just kind of got a little sidetracked there, which is great because we're an open Jets show. You want to talk Jets, you want to talk football, you call us here at Jet Nation Radio. Our number is 646-716-4697. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. Back in the wind, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up, punk it better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, step. Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to StrategicPeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. StrategicPeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I am going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. And right off the break, you know, guys, we've had some, I have to say, you know, I've been doing a show, I've been doing radio probably for about 4.5, 5 years now. And we do, you do get callers, you get names, and you get things along those lines. But I can't say that in two weeks of being on Jet Nation Radio, we have had Green Beans, we have had the Celtic, Tom, help me out here, the Celtic Wizard. The Celtic Wizard. So Green Beans, the Celtic Wizard. And now, even though it's got a little bit of a professional wrestling twist to it, we have the Crusher from the Jet Nation forums. Go ahead, you are on the air on Jet Nation Radio.
Going on, Tom Shane?
Is Tom gone?
No, whoa. Tom's still here. I think he's just Tom is just very, you know, when the Crusher calls Tom, he gets very, kind of like
he's
when
so
Corbin
shy.
Calls. He's very shy, yes. Tom, the Crusher is on for you.
I know. I'm here. You hear me?
I'm right here, man.
Go ahead. What's your point? What do you want to talk about?
Wait a minute. I got to talk about something? Oh, fair enough.
Sure.
Well, I want to talk about the draft.
Go ahead.
First of all, I think the Calvin Pryor pick, great pick. The Amaro pick, also a great pick. I'm just glad we didn't take a tight end in the first round. I would have cried myself to sleep in the middle of the day. I didn't want to see that. The rest of the guys picked. To be honest,
yeah.
I didn't really know many of them. I didn't know, you know, too many of them, except the one kid from Maryland. I was listening to sports radio the day he got hurt. Because I live outside D.C. I live in the Maryland, D.C. metro area. And I was literally listening to the radio when he went down and they were talking about him. So when I heard we draft him, I just think this is like, you know, this is a sign. This is the omen. I don't even think Thompson's going to spin this in a bad way. I think this kid's going to be that kid for us. He's going to shock everyone. And I'm excited about it.
You're excited about Dexter? I can't even remember his name. Dexter McDougal? This is exciting to you?
Come on. You're not excited about Dexter McDougal.
I'm Irish, excited. So I'm always happy for any sort of McDougal. But who is this guy? It's
I'm
Dexter
telling
McDougal.
You, man. He's going to be great for us. He's that player that last year, if he didn't get hurt, I think he had more picks in like the first two games of last year than most of the guys in our defensive secondary had last year.
Yeah.
He can play. He's going to play well for us.
All right. I think the great feature of the Dexter McDougal pick is that Kyle Wilson won't be on the team in 2015. That's what makes me happy about Dexter McDougal. But in all seriousness, this is like an Idzik thing. This is a Seattle thing. This is how they got Walter Thurman. He was a guy who was injured in college. Nobody really knew about him. They pick him in the fourth round, I believe. And he turned into a pretty decent player. He's on the Giants now, but he was a key player in their Super Bowl run. But if you're saying he's good, Sal, if you're saying he's good and you're from Maryland, I'm going to believe you. I choose to believe Sal, the Crusher. How about you guys?
I'll tell you right now, I think it's the right choice. Because, like I said, in order for us, you know, we hear this all the time. Well, you can't have a number one pick at every spot. How many number ones does Rex have to have in his defensive backfield? Now we're going with a kid, and just like Richard Sherman, that same kind of mold. Take a shot on a kid. This kid's hungry. This kid, I'm telling you, he's a baller, man. And this is the kind of kid we hit in these late rounds. You know, the picks that we do have and everything else we got farther, we might see a Super Bowl before we're 90, man.
All right. Well,
I think it turns the franchise around. I really do.
I have stayed
very, very quiet for the past 30 seconds. So in the past 30 seconds, I'm going to see a Super Bowl before I'm 90. And Dexter McDougal, the guy who couldn't stay on the field at Maryland, is going to change the franchise around.
Absolutely.
He's good.
I don't know.
I'm with you, Sal.
Well, you know what?
Sal, hold on. Before you continue on, where are you from?
Virginia. Maryland. I just told you.
Oh, you're in Maryland, right? Where is,
yeah,
where is
Maryland.
The, so I got to find out what bar that you decided to go to on this Tuesday night, and I will meet you there as soon as the show's over because I want whatever you're having.
You come right to the house. We don't got to go to a bar. I'll set you one up before you get here, man.
So when you coming up this year, when you coming up this year to the games?
I tell you, man, I like to try to get up there. It's just hard, man. It's just hard.
Yeah.
My schedule's difficult, and it's kind of a trip. I want to get up and see everybody. You know, I just want
to
do that. I want
to,
you know, I want to make sure everybody sees my Dexter McDougal jersey.
Right, the first game of the year. You don't want to miss, you know, the first game of, you know, you might even want to go to the first preseason game because that'll be the first time the future Jet Hall of Famer franchise turnaround guy, Dexter McDougal, will step on the field with, the, you know, a Jets uniform on. Can't miss that, right?
I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you. Go late the draft, something we've never had.
In all
you know,
seriousness.
You hear the stories. Even Tom Brady. I mean, meanwhile, you want to talk about a story. Redskins think they're going to win this year because they're practicing with the Patriots. I had to listen to that today. So maybe the Dexter McDougal thing, maybe I'm getting a little bit of mental illness, a little pressure from that ridiculousness. But that being said, laugh all you want. I said it today. I have witnesses. Dexter McDougal.
All right.
Thanks, Al. I appreciate it.
Hey, man. I appreciate your time.
Anytime.
Love you, Sal. Talk to you later.
All right. Take careful.
Thanks,
Tom.
Oh man, so this is fun stuff. I tell you, you know, it doesn't get much better than this. Dexter McDougal going to the Hall of Fame. Michael Vick is better than Geno Smith. I tell you, I mean, I really need to start getting out more on Tuesday nights. I really do because it
Brandon,
seems like Tuesday night is a big fun night.
Brandon,
did you ever read Lord of the Flies?
I have not. No,
you have not read Lord of the Flies.
No, but I...
Right now, you are in the position of holding the conch. The guy who holds the conch is the one who gets to talk. But you're abusing it.
Can't
Stop
wait.
With Michael Vick before...
Can't wait!
Are we...
Because I got some questions for you, but I'm going to hold them maybe for the rest of the office. Yeah. Maybe until August, I will hold these questions.
Well, you better do that before. You know, you better not wait till like September because if you know Taj Boyd comes in and lights it up in the preseason, Michael Vick might be on the unemployment line. So you don't want to wait too long. But before you might be
on the unemployment line, my friend.
Oh, I'm never on the unemployment line, my friend.
Everybody's on the unemployment line.
You have to have a job. Go ahead.
Before we continue this weekly banter about the same topic over and over again, which I bet everybody loves, Tom.
Thank you.
Yes.
Water, you got it?
I have my water. I am
you
sitting down.
Do you know what that means?
I have my Xanax.
If you have your water.
I'm ready.
That
I'm
means
ready for this.
We have Courtney Arillo on the line, ready to call in with her weekly spot here on Jet Nation Radio. Hi, Courtney. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Hi, Courtney. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Hi, Courtney. How are you doing?
Hi.
This is Angelo. I usually don't talk to you because I'm not really allowed to talk to you because my girlfriend listens live.
No, your brother's not allowed to talk to me.
Oh, man. I can definitely see why after last week.
I'm reading this wonderful thread. I think.
You got fans. You got haters.
Cool.
Beyonce has haters.
No, it's whatever, man. I can totally take this crap. Go for it. It's
You're very tough.
It's very interesting. Anyway. I just read swearing is not allowed on the show. Ooh, it's a good thing I read that. Anyway, how are you guys doing?
Wow.
Good, how are you?
I'm great. So, the tweet and post of the week. Joe called in earlier, which is pretty cool because basically it's all about him and his coverage about the rookie camp and all that stuff. So big shout out to Joe Carlson for covering that. It's really cool of him, and thank you. Thanks, Joe.
I can't believe Phil let somebody else from Jet Nation go to a Jets event other than you. I mean, you're like the designated event goer for Jet Nation. So this
cool.
was something
some
different.
People work. Some people work.
Ooh, man,
what is
that's
the
Joe Carlson.
people a chance, you know?
Yeah, I understand. What is the post of the week, Cordy? I'm excited to hear this.
Hold on, wait. Before we get to that, we do. I have to give, you know, Cordy just a little bit of a... Go ahead.
No, shit. Save it. I'm cursed. I don't have a post. It's an overall thing. Slash
that out. Because you have one job. You have one job. One.
I'm fired.
It's overall. Courtney, for me, the post of the last couple of weeks came from Just Say No to DMC when he was talking about Dexter McDougal.
Just Say No to DMC. What are you guys doing on there with these names? I really have never heard of a more creative bunch in my entire life when it comes to vlogs. So far, I've had Green Beans, The Crusher. Cordy, do you have, what's your name on the forum and the thread?
I think it's my name. Isn't it just my name?
Why don't you don't get creative? You could do green carrots or something like that to go with you and green beans.
No, actually, no. I'm afraid to say it on the radio. It's Court NJ 18.
Yes, she's very famous.
I'm going to definitely, after this show, I think I'm missing out on some fun when it comes to the forum and talking on there on JetNation.com. If you want to check it out, what all the buzz is about, where, you know, you have people calling in with these names and you're wondering, well, who are we talking about? It's all linked to our website, JetNation.com, where all Jet fans can connect and talk all things Jets, you know, talk about the show, talk about how annoying Angelo is when he talks about Michael Vick being better than Geno Smith. You know, it's a great place to hit the, you know, to kind of let things out. I might go on there and make a Geno is God or something like that, just to completely piss you off, Angela. What do you think?
That's fine. You can't touch me, Brandon. Anyway, so just say no to DMC, which was my original point. His post was about Dexter McDougal, and he was talking about he said those three game tapes that Dexter McDougal had last year must have been the greatest trilogy since Star Wars.
That's a good post.
Guy in the third round.
Go ahead, Courtney.
Brilliant.
Well, Joe Carlson, well, he did a whole article, the Jets rookie minicamp recap. So he did a really good recap, so I think it's a good read.
Yes.
So that's,
I have the,
I, that's the entire
I have the post,
post
of the week. Would you like to hear the post of the week? In response to Angelo's brother, this is Court NJ 18.
Oh,
this
okay.
is not about.
Oh.
She responds to Angelo's brother coming after her about her Sanchez love, and she writes, "Idzik is building a team for the future. It's not only about now. It's not an overnight fix. Face reality, quote unquote, Jets fan. This is not about a quote unquote love affair. You may as well keep sleeping with your Tom Brady blow-up doll, my friend."
Oh, my.
Boom! That is Courtney Arillo in a nutshell right there. And that is why you can't step. It's straight-up Jersey. It's dangerous business. Now, I'm sure Angelo's brother will call it and kill everybody, but that's fine.
Well, that was the post of the minute, because I just posted that 2 minutes ago.
Well, it was just
I'm
so
talking
good.
To you.
It was just so good, I couldn't hold back.
So it's kind of like a haters gonna hate night, right, Courtney?
That's
yeah.
Right.
I don't hold back.
Everybody needs one of those. Before we let you go, Courtney, we're talking with Courtney Arillo here on her spot on Jet Nation Radio. Is there anything else you would like to add from the world of JetNation.com?
Well, it's gonna be a little quiet, but we have some really awesome things coming up. We have in the works a really good fan appreciation video that's gonna be posted after Memorial
Day. Nice about
me.
What?
But, yeah, no, the real fans that are listening.
What fans?
No,
Well, listen, it's a fan-based website. It's not, you know, so we like to always say thank you. It's a way of saying thank you to everyone for listening, for following, for tweeting, every other thing.
I expect Omaha Steaks. That's my usual thank you is I usually get Omaha Steaks. Is that in the works for me? Or
Are you plugging something or are you hinting something?
No, that's usually my standard when I get a thank you is I get an Omaha Steak. Yeah.
He likes steak. Who doesn't like steak?
Nothing wrong with that. It's appreciation, right? You know, everybody deserves to be appreciated. Tom, I heard, was more of a...
If you make the video, you're appreciated. I will be in the video because I'm making the video.
So that's kind of self-promoting.
Did you get called to the video? What's that? Did you get called to be in any fan appreciation video? I know I didn't get called to be in a fan appreciation video. There's a fan appreciation video, apparently.
This was just decided about 4 o'clock.
Really? Am I in it? Am I shouted out in it? No, I'm
the
biggest Jets fan there is.
Meeting. There was a really important meeting today around 4 o'clock when I was winding down at work.
That's lovely. I didn't get called. But anyway.
Email must have been in your spam. Took your spam. Well,
everything is in my spam. Sort of a problem.
Well, Courtney, thank you very much for coming on, and we'll definitely expect the same great gift of information that we get from you on a weekly basis here on Jet Nation Radio.
Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Courtney. And
right.
That was Courtney Arillo from JetNation.com talking about...
My brother says hello.
Oh, as you and now Angelo is trying to turn Jet Nation Radio into Match.com as we speak, everybody. So he's making it work here. You know, he's a multi-talented guy. And we are going to take a break. We're going to come back. You know, we do have about 10 minutes left in the show. We will, Tom, I promise, we're going to touch on the 18-game season and your comments about Roger Goodell ruining the game back after this.
All right.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity, seize everything you ever wanted, one moment that you captured, just let it slip. Yo, his palms are sweaty.
Since the average attention span is now about...
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting your music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Pack it up, pack it in,
So here we are back on Gen Nation Radio. We had a little disturbance there in the force, I think.
And Tom, you know, I was coming off the break here. I did want to jump in and talk to you about, you know, the 16 game, you know, season and 18 games and everything like that. And thanks for leading us in there. I actually, as much as it pains me to say it, I agree with you. I think that Roger Goodell is trying, you know, I think it comes back to the old saying, if it's not broke, don't try and fix it. I think the NFL has a good thing going on. I think everything is working out well. It's the biggest and most successful, you know, sport league out there. I think if you went to a point where you had too much, you'd never get to a point where you have too much football. I think you would see a lack of play in the beginning of the year. But, you know, as a Jets fan and as a Jets show, if I had to see another two Jets games that count per year, I can't tell you I would be sad about it. Go ahead, Tom.
But you would be sad if, for instance, you were playing the Colts or, I don't know, pick a team, Colts and the Chargers, and they didn't have anything to play for in the last, you know, 2-3 weeks of the season, and they're sleepwalking through games, and you pick up a cheap win here. I mean, is that what the NFL wants to be? What's great about the NFL is the Jets and all these kind of mediocre, parity-stricken teams have to fight every week. Only the elite teams get to, like, soft shoe it down the stretch. But, like, every other team has to fight and claw to make that. Last year, it was fun for the Jets because we were scuffling, you know, middle of the season, and we were coming back, and we had a chance to play. Left in the season. I mean, we were fighting. If they expand the playoffs and teams aren't fighting those last 2-3 weeks, then what's the point? What have you done to the game other than sell
True.
People more worthless tickets?
True. Go ahead, Angelo.
Tom, yeah, about the 18-game season, I have a problem with it because I don't know how Michael Vick is going to get through 18 games. But other than that,
you got to try and get through 8 before you get through 18.
I know. I set you up, Brandon. Thank you.
I'm sorry,
but
six,
about the
actually.
Expanded playoffs, I do have to say one thing, though. Over, like, the last 10 years, there have been, like, 8 teams that have finished 10 and 6 or better that didn't make the playoffs. So the way you currently have the league structured into conferences and divisions, you're going to have conferences that are better than other conferences where there are going to be teams that get in at 8 and 8, and then there are going to be 10 and 6 teams. The Patriots were 11-5 one year. I forget what year it was. 2008. They finished 11-5 and did not make the playoffs. So
yeah.
If you can expand it by
just
one game.
Just that region alone, I don't want to extend the playoffs, but go ahead.
I see. But
that's
like,
good news. That's good for the NFL, though.
Right?
You can finish 10-6, 11-5, and not make the playoffs. That's good.
I agree with you.
I think that 10-6 should get you into the playoffs. It's
right,
not like
hockey,
you finish over 500 and you make play. Basketball, the Knicks were still in playoff contention. They were under 500.
Right.
Yeah,
but that's what makes it great. I understand what Tom is saying. No,
but
that's what makes it great, though. That's what he's right.
I wouldn't fight Brandon over it, but
no.
Yeah, I don't have that much of a problem with it. What are you saying, Brandon?
Right. What I'm saying is that Tom is right. That's what makes the sport great, is you could be a 10-6 team and be in a division like the NFC West and struggling to make the playoffs with 10 or 11 wins. That's what makes it great. Now, if you're an 11-win team and an 8-8 team gets in the other, you know, in another division or in the other conference, you're a little pissed off. But guess what? That's just the way it goes. That's what makes this sport so fantastic, and that's what makes, you know, everybody drawn to it. The last 2 weeks of the season, when you're looking at whose percentages are better than whose and who's better here, you know, that's what makes the NFL so, you know, amazing, is that you're watching week one like it's week 15, because you know come crunch time that every single game means so much, and you can make or break a Super Bowl title run by one game. How many teams do we see get hot at the end and make it one game in? And if they would have lost that week 6 game that everybody said, well, we don't really care about it, you know, that's what makes the NFL so great. The more you take away from the excitement of every single game and that any given Sunday, the more of a problem that it becomes. But We do have a caller on the line. We have Steve from Bensonhurst. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh. How you doing, guys?
Fantastic.
What's up, Steve?
How are you, Steve from Bensonhurst?
Well, listen, I have to blow up my Tom Brady blow-up doll here first before I get to talk. You know, I guess it's starting to become a real battle here between me and the enlightened one.
Okay, football.
So football, I actually like the expanded playoffs. I would say, you know, it gives an extra team, you know, it gives an extra team a shot to make the playoffs. I mean, if that was the case this year, we could have possibly been in.
Right, of course, but then again, it comes back to the same point of, you know, in terms of, you know, getting into the playoffs, that's fine and that's great. But again, if it's not, you know, they're not the NFL is not going to sit and say, well, you know, these three teams would have made the playoffs last year if we would have extended the playoffs. It doesn't matter. You don't want to take away from the drawing and excitement that is the end of the season. Fighting for a playoff spot, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to move away from, you know, driving people into the seats for, like what Tom said, meaningless games. And thanks, Steve. We have one more caller on the line here, and then we have to wrap it up here on JetNation.com. I really think that when it comes down to it, they leave it alone. If it's not broke, don't try and fix it. Messing up my cliches here, but the NFL makes its money, drives its revenue, has the highest TV ratings in all of sports. Leave it alone. Stop trying to make things happen for something that you don't need to. But we have another caller here. We have Joe from Jersey calling in, oh man, to talk to Angelo about Michael Vick. Go ahead, Joe.
I just got to say that I cannot disagree with Angelo more about Michael Vick. I don't know why you'd want a guy to come in here, play for a couple games, get injured, hurt Geno's confidence, and then completely have our future up in shambles. I'd rather have Geno Smith come in, start from game one, see what we got, see if we have our franchise quarterback. If he sucks, then next year we have to draft a new quarterback anyway. And if Michael Vick starts this year, then we're just going to have a whole confusing situation next
year
and wonder.
Joe from Jersey, you want a job?
Yeah,
Joe.
Well, yeah, Angelo keeps talking about Michael Vick, sure.
Joe, I don't disagree with you at all. I actually agree with you. I'm not saying you might be a little late to the party, but this happened this started 2 weeks ago when I just had the audacity to mention that Michael Vick, here we go. I'm going to fly right into the mic when you're speaking one time.
Can we get to a date, Todd, here where we
I get my own sound effects. I come with my own sound effects, Brandon. You don't want to hear them. Now, can we just agree that
Joe from Jersey wants to ask Angelo a question. Go ahead, Angelo. Answer my good friend, my new best friend on JetNation.com, Joe from Jersey. Go ahead.
Joe, I agree with you. I do not want Michael Vick to start next year. Now I am starting to want Michael Vick to start next year. Shut Brandon up. But the thing is, I said that Michael Vick right now was a better quarterback than Geno Smith, and that's the argument. But I agree with you. I do not want Michael Vick to start the season.
But this is the thing. Michael Vick had Shady McCoy. He had Sean Jackson. He had Macklin. Geno Smith has freaking Clyde Davis, David Nelson, and Hill. So how do you know evaluate him when he has no weapons? How can you say that Michael Vick is better when Michael Vick wasn't even that good? You're lucky if he scrambles and he doesn't fumble the ball. So why do you want him starting for us or even playing or anything? I don't think he's better.
You're going to put the words in my mouth. I'm going to tell you, you're making an assumption about Geno Smith. He played some of the worst quarterback that I've ever seen, and a lot of it had nothing to do with the weapons that he had. The around-the-back fumble that he had against Cincinnati had nothing to do with weapons.
Oh, okay, but nobody ever got separation.
Evidence. I want evidence.
Angelo, he's right. There's no evidence.
I'm just saying, yeah, exactly. I'm saying that there's no evidence. I watched the tape, and maybe if his receiver got more than an inch off of a corner, then Geno wouldn't have to run backwards and try to put the ball behind his back.
Can I take Phil, who runs JetNation.com, can I take Phil out of the screen room so we can get Joe from Jersey somewhere on this panel or something like that? Because I mean,
hey, I actually know Phil. He's actually a friend of mine, so that could happen.
Joe, are you a religious man?
Excuse me, what did you say?
You a religious man?
I went to Catholic school. I don't go to church every Sunday. I go every couple of the weeks, but yes.
You are religious.
Well, that explains a lot.
Look, here's the thing. This is my point last week, too.
What you have right now, Joe, is faith. I want to see evidence. And you know what? I want Geno Smith to start because I want to see evidence.
Hold on a second. Now you just segued right into my point, and then I'm going to leave this alone for a couple weeks. You just stepped into your own hole there, my friend Angelo Berkowitz. You want to see evidence. Hold on. I let you speak, and I'm keeping Joe from Jersey on the line.
Second,
Joe from Jersey is staying on the line with me here. Hold on, Angelo. I let you speak. It's my turn now. All right?
Go ahead, Brent.
You want evidence. What evidence is there besides Madden 2004 that Michael Vick is better than Geno Smith? He had a roster last year to start the season that everybody was ranting and raving about. They were the favorites in the NFC East. He was throwing at DeSean Jackson. He was throwing at Riley Cooper. He was throwing at Brent Celek. He was handing off to Shady McCoy. He had Chip Kelly. They came out on Monday Night Football. They looked like the greatest show on. They thought it was Kurt Warner to Isaac Bruce all over again. And what happened? He kept losing. And when he kept losing, he went out on the field and he tried to do what Michael Vick does. He tried to run around. And when Michael Vick starts to run around, Michael Vick gets hurt. Michael Vick couldn't win with a star-studded roster, and you're talking about Geno Smith, who came out there with, like Joe from Jersey said, Clyde Gates, Jeff Cumberland, handed the ball off to Chris Ivory, who I think is a great complimentary back, but stop with the evidence. Stop.
Brandon,
go for it.
Who did he lose to? Tell me.
Who did he lose to? That's a good question. You're better off just asking me who did he beat, because the answer will be shorter.
Who did he lose to?
Last year. Let's take a look. You know,
last year, that's the year we're talking about, right? Not 2004,
Madden. We're
going to
do a little overtime here on Jet Nation Radio. Let's stay on the air so we can – let's look at the teams that he lost to last
year. Let's save time. I'll tell you. Let's save time. Lost 31-30. To the Chargers, he threw for 420 yards and ran for a touchdown. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. His quarterback rating was like 124 that game. He lost to the Chiefs. Was Geno Smith beating the Chiefs last year? He lost to the Broncos. Was Geno Smith beating the Broncos last year?
Hey, hold on, real quick. I just got to say that Geno beat Tom Brady and the Patriots and the Saints last year, so he possibly could beat one of those teams. But keep going.
Who was he going to beat? One of the best defenses in football in the Chiefs?
He was going to do that? Hey, the Saints have a pretty good defense, too, don't they?
He was going to beat the Chiefs. He was going to beat the Broncos.
You're saying the Chiefs are no doubt about it better than the Saints. The Saints have a pretty good defense now, too, because of Rob Ryan.
Points against the Chargers. That's what I'm supposed to understand, correct?
Wait, how do we beat the Saints last year, though?
One more thing.
Angelo, what other wins did he have?
What other wins did he have?
Yeah.
They beat the Redskins on Monday night.
No, what other wins? After he lost to the Broncos, what other wins did he have?
He pulled his fucking hamstring.
Wait a second.
Go ahead.
He was terrible. Yeah, right? You're terrible last year. Right? He had an 86
took over that.
He had an 86 rating. What was Geno Smith's record when he threw for the horrible rating of 86 that Michael Vick had for his half
year? Oh, man, you are all over the place.
Hold on.
Talking about records, what was the record when he played to the horrible level of Michael Vick last year.
Okay. What was the overall record, though?
Oh, no. What record should a guy who throws 12 touchdowns and 21 interceptions, what should his record be?
But that's such a silly question. They finished 8-8.
Hold on. You're saying what games he lost and stuff, but Geno beat the Saints. They have Rob Ryan. That's a pretty good defense.
He beat the Saints. He threw 9 completions that game. How did Geno beat the Saints? He was there in the stadium, but there were 15,000 other people
you're
that
being
was
silly.
Yeah,
now
yeah,
you're
you,
being
but
silly.
You, but how do you almost throw the ball? With Clyde Gates on one side and David Nelson. How do you almost throw the ball? How are you going to make a fair assumption of Geno when he can't throw to anyone? How are you going to say
that? Based on no evidence, real. You're making the assumption. I'm not saying you're exactly wrong, but to say you're exactly right and you're definitely right is wrong. And he might well have done better with the weapons that Michael Vick had, but he didn't have them. So you're making an assumption.
Right.
I'm just saying that
again,
I believe when Curley was playing, we were 6-0 with Curley. So give him some more weapons, and I'm making a pretty fair assumption that he'll play a lot better
than Michael Vick.
That's fair enough.
It is fair. You're being unfair to Geno, saying that he's worse. So I'm not. You're making an assumption
enough.
That Geno's worse.
You have approached the question from your angle. I'm approaching the question from my angle. I'm not saying you're definitely wrong, because who knows? In the imaginary world where Geno Smith has the same weapons as Michael Vick did, maybe he does play better. I'm not
Angelo.
Saying you would.
Angelo, do you think Nick Foles is the best quarterback in the NFL?
Oh, it's a gang.
Because he went out there with the same offensive personnel and put up stats like he was the best quarterback in the NFL last year. That's the anti-Vick argument right now, is that Nick Foles took over that, got behind the wheel of that same car and looked like an immortal quarterback. And Nick Foles might be a nice player, but he's not as good as his stats show. Chip Kelly makes that offense. I mean, those players make that offense. There's a reason Vick is not there anymore. You know, it's just... And there's a reason he's on a one-year deal. I get your point. You're saying he's better than Geno. He's this and that. But it's the practicality of it is that Dan Marino, with that criteria, Dan Marino is a better quarterback than Geno is right now, just based on experience and what he could do tomorrow.
No, come on, Tom. That's such a what is the word I'm looking for, Tom? You're a smart guy. Tell me. It's bull.
Sucky argument.
No, it's a sucky argument, because Dan Marino didn't play this.
Oh, man, we've definitely already crossed over the language barrier tonight.
Oh,
that's for
I hate
sure.
you all.
All
right, well,
we're done tonight. This is it. I've had it.
Well, I want to wrap it up here, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank the callers tonight. They were all fantastic. Definitely get online. Go check out the JetNation.com forums. Jump into the thread. Make your comments about tonight's show. Hopefully use a little bit more caution than our host here when it comes down to the language that they use. But let's just move on from that, and we'll keep it as is. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. We will see you next week.